John chapter number 11. While you're turning, I'll say I'm glad I'm here tonight. Appreciate the privilege to be back at camp meeting. Good to see all of you that's made your way in tonight. Appreciate the good day that the Lord's given us. Good preaching in the day today and in the night tonight. I'm thankful for it. Glad I'm saved. Appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here. We'll covet your prayer for just a few minutes. The Lord will help us and use us. His name's honor and glory. John 11, verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, Son of God, which did come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she had heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth under the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, and came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Why, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept, then said to the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay on it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped the feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was it therein, put therein. And then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for the privilege to pray. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, to call upon your name. I thank you, God, tonight for the privilege, Lord, of being in your house. Thank you, God, for the good preaching, Lord, my heart's already heard. Thank you, God, for touching your man like you did and giving him liberty, Lord, like you did. I thank you for that. Lord, and I ask you, God, now as I come to you, Lord, that you'd do the same for me. Lord, would you touch me and help me? I pray, God, that you'd touch my body and my throat. Lord, would you touch my voice and loose my tongue? And help me, God, tonight to preach in power. Lord, in demonstration, God, the Holy Ghost, I beg you, God, to touch me, Lord, and help me, God, to preach your word tonight. And I beg you, God, that you'd touch this congregation and help them, God, to open their hearts tonight, I pray. And Lord, would you let the sweet presence of the Holy Dove, Lord, flutter around this place and touch hearts and lives, I do beg. God, I beg you, Lord, that you, Lord, for a few minutes, God, would open their hearts, Lord, to the preaching of the word of God. And help them, God, to take down their guard, Lord. And help them, God, Lord, I pray, to realize, God, Lord, that preaching, God, will help them, Lord, if they'll trust it, Lord, tonight. I beg you, God, that you would, Lord, help me and forgive me, Lord, where I've failed you. And God, where I've sinned against you, God, and help me, Lord, to stand with clean hands and a pure heart and to preach thus saith the word of the Lord tonight. I cannot do nothing without your touch. And Lord, without it, God, I'll take my seed. But I beg you, God, that you would come and help me, Lord, and preach me, God, I beg, Lord, for a few minutes. And whatsoever, God, you see fit to accomplish, Lord, I'll thank you and praise you for it. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach just for a few minutes if the Lord will help me. Out of verse number 20 where the Bible said, Then Martha, and as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. If God will help us just for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on some sorrowful sittings that bring forth sweet surrenderings. In this text that I've read and you're hearing tonight, we all know the story. Every one of you preachers, I have preached from it numerous times, no doubt. And I have myself taken this text and preached from it so many times. But it seems like I always go back to it every time that I have a problem or have a need. I, for some reason, go to John 11 and begin to read in this text, and we find that great story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And we know the story how at this time that the Bible said that Lazarus is sick, and they sent unto the Lord there and asked the Lord to come, and for some reason he just hangs around where he's at. I really don't know why. That's just how it works sometimes. Sometimes when I call on him, he answers immediately. Sometimes when I approach that throne of grace before I even hit my knees, he's already there. But so many times I went to pray and it seemed like the heavens was brass and I could not get to him. see him. I realize he was hearing me, but for some reason he just would not respond. I'd try to repent and I'd try to say all the right things, but yet heaven still closed. I'm thankful tonight that God does not work in my time, but he works in his own time. And there's times when you think, Lord, I need you right now, and 15 minutes ago would have been even better, but where are you at? And that's sort of the setting of this scripture. These ladies cannot figure out why that their friend is not come. They begged and beckoned, they pleaded, they sent word asking to come. And during this time Lazarus dies, there's a grieving process now that's taking place. They do not understand why their brother has to die, but more than that, they cannot figure out where the Lord's at. I want to ask you tonight, is there sometimes, do you ever feel a little disappointed sometimes when on your Christian journey you're trying to do all that you can do and be all that you can be, but for some reason in your endeavors and in your trust in God, putting all your faith, sometimes he just don't react like you think he should. I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. I'm that man tonight. Sometimes I really feel like that I know the will of God and know what to pray about. But when it's all said and done, God does totally opposite of what I even asked him to do. But that's just God tonight. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. I sure am glad in whatever case it is, in whatever circumstance, he always works to our good and his glory tonight. Here they are, scratching their head, tears coming out of their eyes, looking at each other, looking at them Jews that's coming to bring maybe a plate lunch or some supper or just a neck hug, and the soft words of saying, I'm sorry that you lost him. But yet in their hearts, there's something deeper in that. Where's he at? Where's the Lord? I don't understand. I've seen him do so much for others. Why didn't he come to me? I prayed like they did. I asked like they did. I live just as good as she does. I'm just the man he is. Why didn't he come to me? Where are you at, Lord? Amen. So they're forced and faced with these issues. It's more than just a brother dying. But now their faith and confidence in Christ is for some reason beginning to dwindle. They do not understand. I'm not preaching tonight for robots and a bunch of mindless men and women. Every one of us has got feelings and needs and hurts and cares and things that we do not understand. But when we come to these places, in order to impress the brethren and the sisters, we smile and talk like they want us to talk and say what they want us to say. But really, if we'd just be honest, we'd bear one another's burdens and help each other out. Because in every instance, in every case, most everybody's suffering. Amen. Amen. That's right. And here they are. The word comes to the Lord. He decides now, I'll go. And he goes in his time. When he gets there, there's Martha. There's a great contrast between Mary and Martha. Mary's that quiet woman that deals with her problems on her own. She's chose to take them all in herself. And says to, she don't choose to talk to anybody. She don't choose to vent. She just chooses to sit in the house and weep and cry. Martha's a little bit different than that. She's more confrontational. Jesus is coming down the road, and before he even gets in town, Martha swings the door open, looks down the road, there he is, begins to run down the road. There's no neck hug, there's no handshake, there's no I'm glad to see you, but the words coming out of her mouth, if you'd have just been here, my brother had not a die. Every one of us tonight are different, have our problems a little different. Some of you, I choose to use your mouth and be vocal and express your feelings, but others just choose to sit in the house. This did not mean that Martha was hurting any more than what Mary did, but Mary was still hurting. I'm telling you what tonight, in your sorrow and your hurt, and in your pride and your cares of life, sometimes you you can say things that you do not mean, and you can boast about things that you would not have said in an ordinary circumstance. But whenever things are going wrong, and death is at your door, and your mind's clouded with misunderstandings, and you cannot feel grace, and you cannot feel hope, and you do not feel saved, all you to feel is despair and hurt and shame and wonders where God's at in those times. If you're not careful, you'll vent and say things that you do not mean. Amen. Would I be safe to say that in every one of our lives at some time or another we look toward heaven with misunderstandings and not knowing why God did what He did and trying to figure Him out? As not I have, I'll just go ahead and say me. I won't put you in the pot. But there's been times when I went to pray and beat the ground in my prayer place and was just like Martha and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, pointing my finger heavenward, instead of you to just did what I asked you to, it would have been better. It wouldn't be like this. I wouldn't have this hurt. Wouldn't have this grief. But because you chose not, God, now I'm dealing with death. Now I've got sorrow. Now I've got heartache. Now I've got woe. Where are you at, God? Amen. Oh, yes. I'm telling you what, you just need to go ahead and take your mask off and go ahead and let the Holy Ghost help you, because I'm in your row tonight. And you know it, amen. I don't understand God sometimes, and I can't figure Him out, but I went ahead and decided that it ain't for me to figure Him out. I ought to just trust Him, whatever He does. If I say come now, and He comes 2 weeks from now, I just want to learn to be content and be glad that He showed up when He did show up. Amen. If everything falls apart and if everything goes wrong, I'm telling you what, in those times God is watching you and watching your faithfulness, and He understands your hurt and He understands your cares, but He wants you to trust Him no matter what comes your way. I like what David said. He said, I'd faint unless I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's been a lot of days when I wanted to lay down and quit, but faith took hold, even though I didn't understand God, even though I didn't agree with ways of doing it. Thank God I just said, go ahead, Lord, do it your way. Let come what may, thy will be done. And in the end, it worked out His way. Amen. Amen. Stomping her feet and saying, if you'd just been here, my brother hadn't died. I know y'all don't do that. Amen. I know y'all don't ever look at God. We're the cream of the crop here. There's no way that we'd admit, you know, lack of faith and lack of confidence. There's no way that we'd admit we hurt every once in a while and do not understand. Ain't that right? Because somebody might realize that we're human, and Lord God, we're not human tonight. We're super evangelists and super pastors and super pastors' wives and super lay members. And we go to the greatest churches in the world. And nothing ever plots our church. Nothing ever happens to us because we're God's cream, you know. But I'm telling you what, even God's cream every once in a while gets a weevil in the corn stalk. Every once in a while, you've got hurts and sorrow that you do not understand and lose your grip. And before you know it, you're kicking in your prayer place and weeping and saying, God, where are you? Amen. Sorrowful city. Mary just sitting in the house, biting her nails. All these questions, why, Lord? We're supposed to be friends. You know, I've seen you do miracles. I've got all confidence in you, Lord. Why, Lord? Why aren't you here? I see her kneel down and pray a little bit. Get up, no relief. Bite her nails a little bit more. Why, Lord? Pray again. Because every time she has these questions, you know, she says, I'm not being a good Christian. I shouldn't doubt Him. So she'll roll over and pray. But when she's done praying, she's more confused than what she was when she started. Y'all ever been right there? And before you know it, you're wringing your hands in your pride and problem and saying, I just don't understand. Amen. Martha, you know down there, giving the Lord a good talking to, being, you know, that loud woman, you know, and being expressing her feelings, expressing her cares. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really want to talk too bad about her because I've done the very same thing. That's right. But I would like to be a little more less vocal sometimes and just trust Him. Amen. But I'm telling you what, here they are now, and the Lord says, your brother's going to rise again. She says, I know. She knows all these scriptures. She knows all this. So He'll rise again for resurrection. But that don't stop the point, Lord. If you'd have been here now, we wouldn't have had to worry about a resurrection. He'd still be here. Amen. And that's the way we do sometimes. Lord, you're going about it a different way. If you'd have just done it my way, we wouldn't have had to make this long circle to get where we're going. But what you don't understand sometimes, if God don't detour you and carry you the long path, you'll wind up in a pitfall over your head with your neck broke. God saved you out of trouble. No many times, how many times? Just by taking you the long way. Amen. Amen. She now runs to the house and says, Mary, the master's come. And he's calling for thee. Mary rises up hastily after sitting, after her sorrow runs to him, where she's not said nothing now. Busts that door open, runs down that road. And the first thing she says, as far as I can tell, she's not said anything. But now when he gets face to face with her, this confidence that she has, this trust that she has, is now overwhelmed by her sorrow and her pride. And instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for showing up when you did, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother had not died. Why didn't you come? I've been a praying. I've put confidence. I've trusted you. I don't understand, Lord. Why, Lord, did you not come? They've made it by this time down to the grave, and the stone's there. Mary's crying. Martha's crying. The Jews are crying. Friends are crying. Family's crying. The Jews are looking around there saying, hey, ain't this man that opened blinded eyes? Ain't this that man that touched withered hands? What's his problem? Could he not have touched this boy that he should have not have seen death? In your endeavor to get back at God, in your endeavor to vent your frustration and your feelings toward God about the way he's not coming through for you, when you do that, somebody will be right beside you that's going to hear that, and it's going to cause them to lose confidence and lose grips. And instead of you shaking your fist, now we've got a crowd shaking their fist and saying, could he not do this one path for us? Where's he at? It's better sometimes just to handle your problems, keep your mouth shut, carry them to your prayer place and pray and come out even though you don't understand it. Sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Thank God when you pray and can't feel heaven and still feel them sorrows. Sing, thank God. How firm a foundation. No matter what comes your way. No matter if he don't do it in his your time. Trust him and don't let anybody give an excuse to blaspheme God. Amen. I think that's right, ain't it? Amen. I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of doing that at times, but I want to be better. Amen. Oh, yes. But he's rose this boy. Said, rise, Lazarus. Lazarus comes forth. In this next chapter, you see Mary's serving now. And Lazarus sitting there at the supper table. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Reckon who that is. And it's Mary. Mary comes to the door just like she always does. She still don't have a lot to say. As far as I can say, the only thing she said unto him is, Lord, if you'd have been here, there's no more communication. He does his miracle and nothing else is said. But now all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Who is it? It's a woman. What's her name? Her name's Mary. What's she holding? An alabaster box. And she walks in the door, marches by everybody else. Don't say, glad to see you, Lazarus. Don't wave at Mary in the kitchen. But
falls down at his feet and breaks that cross. I'm telling you what, sometimes in your sorrow, that if you'll just go ahead and trust him, it'll bring a sweet surrender in your life. It looks like to me, this is closure for this young girl, even though she looked toward God and said, I don't understand and can't figure out. But now she's a washing and a wiping. What she's a saying without saying anything is, I'm sorry, Lord, and I want to be the best I can be. I don't want to doubt no more. I don't want to fuss at you no more. I don't want my problems to get the best of me. I want to give you my all. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's the way I want to be, don't you? Amen. Sorrowful cities over there in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19, the story of that great prophet Elisha. And what of Elijah, what a man he was. Man of God, by this time he's already confronted the king. By this time he's done prayed and fires fell from heaven. By this time he's done told Ahab to get off the mountain, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. But in this very next chapter, Ahab has told Jezebel all what Elijah's done, and Elijah's got word of it. And now guess where he's at? He's in the wilderness with his hands in his pocket. He's just preached one of the greatest sermons, you know, that he's ever preached. He's done prayed the most powerful prayer. He's done been the prime example that he could be. But now all of a sudden sorrow and grief has slapped him in the face, and he's got his hands in the pocket running through the wilderness. And instead of just going on trusting God, I tell you what I believe I'll do. I'll just sit down right here under this juniper tree. Now go ahead, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go ahead and say, God, I'm no better than my forefathers. God, just go ahead and kill me. This woman hates me, and she's after me. I can't get ahead, and I can't do no right. Every time something good happens, God, five more things happen that's bad. I just can't get ahead up, Lord. Just go ahead and take me out. I'm no better than nobody else. Amen. Some of you preachers, everything you do, everything you touch turns to gold. I'm talking about you. Set it in your mind to build a church. You build it, and in less than a year, you've got more people coming than churches that's been established for 20 and 30 years. Amen. Ain't that right? Some of you preachers, it don't matter where you're at, how dead it is, how liberal the crowd is. You get behind the book bar, and all of a sudden, it's on you, and you preach in holy power. But for the rest of us, it ain't like that. For the rest of us, you know, we're human, amen. And every once in a while, we get people after us. And every once in a while, we would to God that we'd die. Every time something good happens in my life, I go ahead and say, honey, let's go ahead and start praying, because we're fixing to be bombarded with a bunch of different things that we do not understand. That's right. And I'll just go ahead and admit it. I'm set under the same juniper tree and wish the same death. But thank God, in my plight and in my sorrowful city, here comes an angel with a cake in his hand and a cruise of water that says, rise, preacher, that dirt is great. Thank God, but in my heart and in my longing to go on and be like everybody else, I'd break the leaves back even further and dig a little deeper and snore a little louder. But there he is again with another cake and another cruise. Rise, preacher, thy journey's too great. Get up and go yonder. I'm glad every once in a while, in my sorrow, in my plight, in my grief, I can see him come through and surrender my all and run up on a mountain, hear a small voice, and find out that there's still 7,000 that has not devoured me. It ain't all heartache. It ain't all trial. It ain't all bad. There is a brighter day. There is a land way up yonder somewhere that if we stay faithful and surrender, we'll get there one day. Amen. In Job, chapter number 1, chapter number 2, we see another sorrowful city. Amen. Job has not asked for this. As far as I can tell, Job's perfect, upright, fears God, and excuses all evil. He hadn't looked to God and said, Lord, look at me. I can handle whatever comes. Go ahead and make a fool out of the devil. He don't do that. And anybody that's got any sense, don't pray them kind of prayers. Cause God lay it at your feet. He'll grant it to you. And before most of you know it, mind myself, the devil will be making a fool out of us cause we can't handle our sorrows. Amen. Job loses all he has. Houses, land, cattle, and oxen. Loses all his sheep. All of his kids die. And there he is. And not understanding. Why has all this happened to me? What's going on? I do not understand. And no doubt he probably tried to pray. But no response from heaven. Here they come questioning. And they're saying, Job, what's wrong? What's caused all this? Jacob said, or Job, excuse me, Job says, I don't know. But I do know this. Naked I came into this world. Naked I'll go. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. There Job is in his prime. He just goes ahead and believes in God and trusts Him. But the devil says, hey, I took all this. Now let me touch his body and he'll surely curse you. Here Job is there minding his own business, sifting through the rubble, trying to regain his life, trying to figure out, you know, what all's hitting. And all of a sudden, sore balls now popping up on his body. And the devil's afflicting him. Job just builds him up a fire and smokes it up real good. Lets the wood burn down to the ashes. Plops right down in the middle of them ashes. And it gets him a piece of broken pottery. Goes to scraping them. Them balls on him. Getting that ash and putting in it. Here comes Mama. Mama don't even understand. She's mad at God because God took her kids. God took her big house. God took her fancy car. And now God struck her husband. And she don't understand why. Job, will you still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? But here's that sorrowful sinning, but shed a sweet surrender as he scrapes the top off of one more of them bulls and looks up toward heaven, thank God, and says, woman, you speak as one of the foolish women. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of you tonight has been hit with all kind of heartache and hurt. Some of you are raising grandkids that you wish that your kids would have been in church and raised them right in front of you. But you can't. You've got to do it now. Some of you mamas there are sitting when everybody else is being blessed and wearing new clothes up from pennies and belts. You're still shopping at a thrift store and you can't figure it out. And you're wondering why. I'll say forget all that and find you a place to pray and surrender sweetly to Him and say, God, if it's thrift store, let it be thrift store. If my husband never does get a big church or a better job, if my husband never is a star evangelist, if he's got to work at the chicken plant or dig ditches, Lord, as long as I can come to church and fill your tank and the babies get saved, I want to be that God. You give, you take away, but still bless me your name. Amen. That's right. I don't understand some things. I don't. I ain't going to try to figure them out. I'm just going to trust Him. Amen. That's exactly right. I do not understand why that I had to lose my daddy at such a young age. And, but I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't call him back for nothing in the world. The last things I heard him say was, son, what a joy it is to have Jesus in your heart at a time like this. Take care of Mama. And whatever you do, don't quit preaching. Preach, son, preach. Whatever you do, though it was sorrowful, I decided that day, hey, Daddy went to a better country that I've only dreamed and preached about. I'm going to stay sweet. I'm not going to get bitter and mad at God because that He called my daddy home. But I'm going to be all I can be while I'm here. I don't understand why that my mama's at the house tonight with cancer from head to toe and hospice taken care of and big old knots coming up on her head that look like golf balls. Brain cancer, lung cancer, and the bone cancer and everything else. But I was there the other day, we was a planning her funeral, and she said, "Son, I'm scared of dying." I said, "Mama, are you scared because of your soul?" And she smiled real big and said, "Don't have nothing to do with the soul. I'm just afraid of that cross, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to expect." I said, "Mom, expect this. If you're all right in your heart, expect that when you get to the brink of that river, there'll be a great big hand that reaches from yonder's world that'll take care of yours and guide you on the cross." I was over there Thursday and Friday. My uncle and aunt was there and a lost cousin. And she sat up on the bed and said, "I've been scared for about 3 weeks for now of dying, not knowing what to think." She said, "But I woke up this morning and I'm totally content. And it becomes 5 days or 5 minutes. I've got such a peace." I'm telling you what, when you get to the place that you can surrender all, you can have peace like a river. Peace that passes all understanding. But without that, you'll sit sorrowful. You'll weep. You'll hang your hearts on the willow. You won't understand. But if you can get past all that, get at His feet, give Him your life, then closure can come in. Amen. Amen. Book of Matthew said, and sitting down, they watched Him there. What a sorrowful sitting. Sorrowful. He's dying. He's hanging on a cross. He's dying. But as He gives up the ghost, I see some women there. Mary's one of them. Another Mary. And they're weeping. But all of a sudden, here comes another disciple that not much is said about. His name's Joseph of Arimathea. We don't read about him much in the Scripture. All it says about him is he spent his days preparing for his own death. Amen. That'd be a good thing for you to do. Start today for preparing for your death. He's been over yonder chiseling out a sepulcher that they'll lay his body in. But now the limp, lifeless body of his Lord is there hanging on that cross. He does not understand it. But he marches up that hill with some linen cloths and says, "Let me bury him properly." Amen. Oh, thank God for some men that'll take care of business even in sorrow. Wrap him in them grave clothes. Carried him over there, set him in that tomb, said, "This is mine, but now it's yours." But really what he didn't realize, everybody that's ever been dead or been in sin and lost, we're just a dead tomb. But when we beg that body and lay it in us, in our own lives, it takes up its abode, and resurrection morning we'll come alive one day. And even though we're sorrowful in our sittings, there'll be a day when we can surrender to that point and that fact and come alive in Christ. And over yonder on the third day, here they come again with the spices to anoint that body. But He's already got up. I'm glad, thank God, this tonight that no matter what your pride or your grief, He's done got up. And now He sits on the right hand of God to make intercession for you and I. So whatever your plight or trouble is, bring it to Him and beg His help. And though He may not answer today, bring it again tomorrow. But keep trusting Him and He'll come through. Amen.